The Healthy Rivers Roadshow is coming to town, and here to tell us more is Craig Wilkins from Conservation SA. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Look, it sounds like it's a cooking show, but it's obviously not. It's about rivers and not just fishing, I'd imagine. What's going on?
Yeah, it's as people I'm sure are aware, the last few months has been quite tumultuous in the world of the River Murray politics, with the Four Corners report, which lifted the lid on a series of quite alarming practices in New South Wales. And in fact, in the last 24 hours, the initial response to that has come out from the New South Wales government, and there was some fear that from some that this would be a bit of a bit of a whitewash and a bit of a let's push this issue aside. But instead, it seems to have been quite hard-hitting, and one of the main bureaucrats at the centre of the allegations has been put on misconduct charges, and they've referred it parts to ICAC, and it's clearly shown that there is something deeply awry with the monitoring and the process in New South Wales around the Murray-Darling Basin plan. So that's a really good thing that's been taken seriously, and it just reinforces the need for a larger judicial inquiry, which has been the call from across the political spectrum into the Murray-Darling Basin plan to make sure taxpayers are getting full value for the investment they've made in saving the river.
Yeah. So just taking it a step back, though, because not everyone would be totally aware of this. This was a total misallocation of water, right? And governments not only turning a blind eye, but being conscious of the fact that water was redirected where it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, it was particularly in the sort of northern reaches of the Murray-Darling region. One of the biggest concerns has been that taxpayers have paid to put water back into the system to improve the health. And some irrigators were doing was taking that water and actually using it on their rice farms. And they have a really bizarre system in New South Wales where you can actually take as much water as you like without metering. And so it was all very, you can fill in logbooks to say, oh, I've extracted a certain amount, but without metering, there's no surety about you actually sticking to the rules. And there's been a lot of allegations for a number of years that there's been a series of rorts and dodgy behaviour, and now it's coming out. So there is a clear need to get these rules right, because people need to have confidence in the system. And ultimately, as people at the bottom end of the river, we need to know that the water is going to come down and reach the Coorong and Lower Lakes and out through the Bight. Yeah.
Well, we do need to know, and water is important for the environment, but it's obviously very valuable for people who want to produce crops. Now, the public servant who's been stood aside and is facing charges was, unfortunately for him, caught on camera doing it. But as Jenny mentioned, governments have known about this. Like, there's obviously many, many, many people involved in allowing this to happen. So how do we know that that's all going to be changed, rather than just someone gets, exonerated in the media and hauled over the coals in an inquiry, and it just behaviour as normal.
Yeah, absolutely, and this is why that call for that broader judicial inquiry has been made, because we need to look at every part of that system and make sure it is functioning well, and part of that is actually I think a bit of a reminder for politicians about how valued the River Murray is, particularly here in South Australia, and how much we want the Murray-Darling Basin plan to succeed, and that's kind of been the reason for these series of events, the roadshow you mentioned at the beginning, the Healthy Rivers Roadshow. It's over the course of 5 nights in 5 different cities across the state, local people have put together conversations around why we need the plan, why we need a healthy Murray, and what we need to do to achieve that, and it's those people leading those conversations are fellows of a program which the Australian Conservation Foundation and the Conservation Council of South Australia have combined to put together to sort of encourage those local voices in favour in support of the Murray.
Now, whereabouts is the roadshow happening? You said across, there's various venues across the state.
Yeah, so it kicks off on the 18th of September in Renmark. Then it goes to Murray Bridge on the 19th, Meningie on the 20th, Goolwa on the 21st, and then finishes up with a big one in Adelaide on the 22nd.
Yep, and who's going to come and speak at that?
Yeah, a range of different speakers, some sort of technical, some more from community voices, but really trying to explain why the Murray-Darling Basin Plan is essential for the river's health and what we as a community can do to ensure that politicians are very aware that we want it saved.
And all of that misdirection of water, how did that affect the Murray? Or as far as we're aware, what could that have done in a more beneficial way?
There's no doubt that the number one thing the river needs and the river system needs is more environmental flowing down. A river needs water to survive, and this gradual stripping away of water means that all the sort of the lungs of the system, all the wetlands, all the supporting sort of networks and streams around the main river channel haven't had as much water as they need, and you can sort of see the impact in terms of the river red gums and the fish breeding and bird life. The last couple of years we've had okay rains, and that's kind of kept the system alive. But as soon as the rainfall drops across the basin, we're going to be in deep trouble again. Similar to what happened a few years ago with the Millennium Drought, that's the underlying system is still very, very susceptible to major shocks from lack of rainfall. Mm.
We're talking to Conservation SA's Craig Wilkins. Well, we hope the roadshow goes really well, and I can't wait for it to turn up in Adelaide. Something else that's turning up very soon is the SA Environment Awards. Who's in the running?
So we hold these awards every year to honour the fantastic work that takes place by volunteers and community members. And really the big emphasis is on the people that aren't in the big official roles and get all the glory, the ones that actually just get out there and do the hard work. So we have a series of different awards, Unsung Hero, Young Achiever, and the main award is called the Jill Hudson Memorial Award, and that's in honour of a South Australian teacher, Jill Hudson, who died a few years ago, and she was very passionate about supporting community environmentalists and young people about the importance of the environment, and so it honours someone who has made a remarkable contribution over the previous 12 months to protecting SA's environment, and there's been some fantastic winners in recent years. Last year it was a guy called Mark Backman who has done some awesome work down in the southeast protecting the Mount Burr Swamp and other parts of the wetland system of the southeast. The year before that it was the Lester sisters, Karina and Rose Lester, who as many of your listeners would know were central to the campaign to stop the high level nuclear waste dump, and in honour of their father Yami Lester, they've kept on that family tradition of standing up on behalf of their people on nuclear issues, and they were extraordinary campaigners. So, there's a real honouring of those people who act on behalf of all of us to protect our wonderful environment.
And often those people are incredibly humble and say, look, I don't deserve this. It was a huge team behind me as well.
Absolutely, yeah. That seems to come with the territory. They usually are very, very very humble and unassuming around the work they do. But we would so notice it if it didn't happen. Mm. And it is a great opportunity to celebrate that work.
Yeah, do you think that there's not enough support for environmental causes these days? People are a bit bogged down in their own lives.
Yeah, it's a funny one in terms of it's the classic you don't miss it till it's gone kind of situation where a lot of the work that you might be sort of walking past or driving past a bit of a patch of bush, and you don't realise that there's actually people who are actively caring for it in terms of making sure it's healthy, and you know, there's a real interaction between between nature and humans. You know, we desperately need a healthy nature to our own personal survival, but also increasingly these days nature needs humans to actually interact and care, and that's never more so than in the outback and in the north, where Aboriginal people on land are essential for the country's health.
So can people still nominate someone for the awards?
Definitely. Nominations are open for till the 13th of October, so still got another month. And there's also this year for the first time we're having a Lifetime Achievement Award, recognising those people who've, over the course of their life, have done an extraordinary thing. So jump on our website at Conservation SA, you can get all the details there.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Craig.
Yeah, no worries. Absolute pleasure.
Craig Wilkins is from Conservation SA. And if you wanted to nominate anyone for the Conservation Awards, head to conservationsa.org.au/awards.